"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com. Well, we know the disappointment we all felt on Monday with the news came from the L.A. County Registrar Voters Office that not enough signatures qualified to put a recall of the L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon on the ballot. Will there be a third effort? We don't know yet. What are the organizers doing to challenge the rejection of this effort? We don't know that either. But anyway, this gave the opportunity for the mealy-mouth George Gascon to make a couple of media appearances. He started out on Twitter, and of course, he likes to tell people that this was nothing more than this power grab by right wing. It's the usual nonsense that he... But he threw in a new one, which we're going to talk about with John Hatami, the L.A. County Deputy DA, who's been in our show many times. Matter of fact, I think he was our first guest to speak publicly against his boss, George Gascon. Now, there's been a number of Deputy DAs on the show since then. But he told Fox 11 that even though nearly 98% of the L.A. County deputy DAs were in favor of the recall, he said a lot of them were badgered and bullied.
So let's get John Hatami on to respond to this, the deputy DA. John, welcome back. How are you?
Good, good, John and Ken. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you heard Gascon claim that all 98% of you were bullied into voting against him in that deputy DA poll.
You know, what he said was completely false. You know, I think most people know George Gascon now. He likes to gaslight. He likes to lie. He likes to deflect from the fact that his dangerous and radical policies have made all of us less safe. So when we took that vote was done over the internet. I actually did it on my phone at home. You had multiple days to do it, and it was done confidentially. So there would be no way to bully or badger anyone. You wouldn't know who voted or who didn't vote. They could have voted anywhere, and it was confidential. So you have somebody who's the elected district attorney of Los Angeles completely lie on television, and the reason is he's embarrassed. He's a narcissist, so he can't handle the fact that people actually don't like him. And the problem is he implemented dangerous and rogue policies on day one, and all the deputy district attorneys, except I think 5 of them, you know, all but 5, knew that what he was going to do was going to make everybody here less safe. And that's exactly what happened. He endangered so many lives with all of his policies. You know, I want you guys to think about something. On day one, George Gascon, a person who had 8 years as a San Francisco district attorney, 30 years as an LAPD police officer, two stints as a police chief, both in Arizona and in San Francisco. He eradicated hate crimes here in Los Angeles. He just got rid of hate crimes. What kind of a horrible human being would do that? And so all the district attorneys, all the deputy DAs knew he was a horrible individual, and we voted that way. In addition to that, many of us understand what it means to lead by example. And somebody who's never tried one case, who's never walked into court once, who's never fought for a child or somebody who was sexually assaulted or somebody who is killed, that person wants to lead us. Well, that person needs to come into the office and actually interact with his employees. And he failed to do that. He just came into the office and pretty much was an empty mouthpiece. That's pretty much what he is. He's an empty mouthpiece who runs around doing, you know, media hits and press conferences when he has absolutely no idea how to do his job.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up the how he does not want to prosecute hate crimes, and he doesn't want to prosecute gun crimes either. It doesn't matter if the crime is something that perhaps a more conservative person would like to see prosecuted or a progressive person. He just doesn't want to prosecute any crime, no matter where it comes from.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, when he came into office, he wouldn't allow us to charge the gun allegation on any case at all. He only started buckling when the media started pressuring him. He doesn't care about anybody or the safety of anyone. He still won't allow any deputy district attorney to go to a parole hearing at all. He got rid of the gang allegation, has never brought that back. We haven't charged a gang crime in, I think, about 20 months. So that hasn't been brought back. He got rid of all the strike allegations. And so, you know, he had to bring those back because he sued him. And we won. And so pretty much George Gascon does not care about the safety of anyone. His main job is prosecuting crime and protecting the public, but he doesn't do that at all. He cares more about people who are in custody, more about people who are committing crimes than he does about the average citizen and resident of Los Angeles County.
We're in this weird space because we know there's a tremendous amount of animosity towards Gascon. If this actually went up for a countywide vote, there'd be millions of people who'd want him out. But the arbitrary number that was set by laws, we had to get 566,000 or so. We got 520,000. So we missed that goal that the law requires. Why do you think it was missed? What do you think went wrong in this process to recall him? Because certainly the energy and the numbers of people, they're out there. They exist. Why didn't they get enough of people on paper here?
So I know the two of you are really knowledgeable about recalls because you were actively involved in the Newsom recall. And, you know, recalls are difficult and they require a lot of energy and a lot of work. And, you know, just look at the vote we just had in June, 29% of the people voted. So 70% stayed home. So actually, and that was everyone who was sent an actual ballot to their home. Over 70% didn't even fill it out. For recalls, you have to get out there. You have to, you know, interact with individuals. You have to talk to them. You have to get them to sign a form. And it requires a lot of work and it goes really fast. You know, you have a short amount of time to do it. So I don't want the victims and the family members to feel like they failed. I don't want the residents of Los Angeles to feel like they failed. We've tried twice now. Both times we came up short. But that doesn't mean that most people don't dislike George Gascon. He has a 29% approval rating. 37 cities representing 2.2 million people have voted no confidence in him. Almost 98 deputy DAs have voted to recall him. And so, you know, we just didn't make it. And sometimes things don't always go the way you want them to go. But that doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we stop fighting. That doesn't mean that I'm going to stop protecting you, protecting all the children here in Los Angeles, and still fighting for those victims and those family members who feel abandoned. I don't know exactly what happened, John. I just know that sometimes things just don't go the way you want them to go. But that doesn't mean I'm going to quit. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop fighting. I went back to work the next day, and I know these families are depending on many of us to stand up and be their voice and fight for them. And I'm going to continue to do that. George Gascon is just a politician. Politicians come and go. The deputy district attorneys who work in our office, in my office, are here to stay. We are going to keep fighting. We will weather through this, and we will get past it. George Gascon's days are numbered, and 2024 is just around the corner.
Are you worried about even being more of a target for retaliation?
100%. I mean, here's the thing. I've been trying to get promoted for the last 2.5 years. I don't think that's ever going to happen, at least not now. I get a lot of my cases taken away. You know, my life has sort of been a living hell, especially at work. It's difficult. You know, that first week, George Gascon called me unfit and delusional and announced that he was going to discipline me. And so it's been difficult ever since. But I didn't take the job for money. And, you know, I took it to do the right thing. I'm going to continue to do that. It's an uncomfortable situation there. But you know what? George Gascon is going to have to drag me out of that building, kicking and fighting to kick me out. I've been there many more years than he has. And so he's going to have a hard time getting me out of that office. I do my job. I do it well. I work hard. I just don't agree with George Gascon. I agree with the law. And now, that's really the job of the deputy district attorney.
One thing you mentioned that you're right about, and probably most people don't really understand this concept, but he is a narcissist, and narcissists are incapable of processing criticism. It simply doesn't. It doesn't compute
exactly.
To them. So they come up with all sorts of – they have no introspection into what they've done. They don't take any responsibility. There's no remorse. They simply accuse everybody else, blame everybody else, deflect on everyone else. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's the way their brains are wired.
I mean, like you said, when you know his announcement was that this was a political power grab. And so he can't even sit back and self-reflect and say, listen, you know, 37 cities have voted no confidence in me. Almost every DA but 5 disagrees with me. You know, there's been 2 recalls against me. So many victims and survivors are struggling and suffering because of my policies and directives. You know, maybe these people have sincere differences. Maybe I need to stop calling them names and making this a political issue and actually talk to them like they're human beings and understand that people who get raped, sexually assaulted, murdered, robbed, attacked, beaten, these are real people, and these are real lives, and they deserve a district attorney to stand up and fight for them. But we have a narcissist in office, somebody who only cares about himself, somebody who hires public defenders from outside the office and then promotes them, somebody who only believes that criminals are victims and real victims aren't victims, somebody who believes that his political beliefs and ideology are more important than the law that the people actually voted on.
All right, Donna, Tommy, thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
No, thank you so much.
All right, that's another one of the dedicated deputy DAs in the LA County DA's office who, of course, from day one, and the directives of George Gascon have been fighting the good fight and trying to carry out justice as they have seen it fit for many years under previous DAs. That's John Hatami. More coming up.
John and Ken Chuck.
Well, you got to appreciate guys like John Hatami in the LA County DA's office and just hope they keep their self-focused on trying to carry out whatever justice they can and getting around his directives.
We are going to keep exposing every horrible, dangerous thing he does. Every lie, every criminal who's not prosecuted, everyone who comes out early. We're going to make sure we know the backgrounds of all the killers who murder citizens or murder policemen and tie all the stuff that Gascon has caused right back to him. I mean, he should be out of office. He should be forced to resign.
Sadly, the stories are going to continue for another 2.5 years. I don't think there's a third recall attempt coming. I can't imagine that, considering how much this cost and the exhaustive fundraising involved. So we're going to have to put up with this until there's another vote in November of 2024. That's the sad news. But you're right. We're going to continue to expose all of the injustices done to people, victims, families.
He's one of the worst public officials I've ever seen in my life, and he's absolutely cold-blooded. He has no conscience. He's totally self-absorbed. His policies are just crazy. He lies about the reasons for the policies. He lies about the outcomes. I mean, this guy's a monster. We're dealing with a real-life monster here. Who's and God, I feel for all the victims, families who've been part of the recall movement, because I can't imagine how devastated they are. But we're going to keep after this guy. One day he will be gone.
You know, I was thinking about this logically today. You know, just for a moment, are you going to interrupt me several times? Because I'm trying to play their part for a moment. But if you really believe that society, the U.S. society, you know, the way it was formed, the way it is racist, right? And it works only for white people and people of power. You start with that. Then you get to the criminal justice system, where clearly Gascon has said this enough times. He believes that disproportionately people of color are imprisoned. But to attack this from the back end, to say, well, we're going to try to limit the sentences, we're going to try to get people out of jail early, as you always like to point out, but weren't the crimes still there? If the crimes were still committed, if you really want to change all these things, work on changing the society you think is racist that puts people in these situations where they commit these crimes. But after the crimes are committed, saying, we're not going to punish you very long because we think it's wrong that you were in this situation. It's not your fault, right?
That's why I don't believe their reasons, because it's easily disproved in a matter of seconds. Yeah. So there's something else, I think, more nefarious from like George Soros and these other wealthy people who are financing these campaigns. There's some deeper damage they want to do, because the racism just doesn't hold up, period. It just doesn't. Falls apart in 30 seconds. So it's not that. It's something else they want to accomplish here.
Chaos, you said? An overthrow of the government?
Chaos. Well, because they just think the whole idea of America is illegitimate. I mean,
I did say that at the beginning. That's what I think. I believe that it started, you know, with an imperialistic takeover, which annihilated, you know, Native Americans, and through the years it has hurt people of color.
But it's not that they care about the people of color or Native Americans. The capitalism, the power in the world, our strong military, our freedoms, it upsets this crowd to no end.
Because I think you're right.
They've attacked all this stuff. They've attacked, you know, the freedom of speech. We can't even talk honestly anymore. I saw another poll today about the huge percentages of people who give one answer in public and a different answer they feel privately. It's actually squelched, like, normal public conversation and even private conversation in some ways.
Because one side just blows up the other side for something that they believe or say. They've decided, you can't feel that way, I'm canceling you.
Right. So they want to destroy lives. They're not trying to make life fair for people who are oppressed. What they want to do is destroy people who haven't done anything wrong. And so there's something, you know, I mean, look what Russia's government and China's government has done. There's no rational explanation. It's just raw power. It's to abuse people. It's control for the sake of control. It's part of human nature. It's the dark part of human nature that just is not discussed enough. And now they're on a roll here.
Well, on the bright side, because this hasn't come up in well over a week, the Sixth Street Bridge in downtown LA seems to have calmed down. We're not hearing reports of street takeovers and police closures, and some are saying that it just fizzled out. Others are saying that the enforcement is probably working. I don't know, but at least it's gone away. The weird story that came up, though, sort of related to this, the city of Compton has had a real problem with street takeovers. If you don't know what that is, basically a mob shows up, usually organized on social media. They sort of block the intersections, and then cars do all sorts of tricks and turns and spin-outs and donuts in the intersection for a while people whip out their phones and take the video and everybody cheers. Occasionally somebody gets hit. I know it sounds weird to most people, but this apparently has become an enjoyable pastime for many to show off their cars and their moves, right? Fast and furious kind of crap. So in Compton, they have put down bot dots at a couple of intersections. And if you know what bot dots are, if you've ever driven on the freeway and you're sort of drifting out of lane, you sometimes might hit those big yellow plastic, or whatever they're made of, markers in the road that kind of jolt your car. Those are the bot dots. So they put them in the intersection so it's tougher to do spin-outs because the tires won't really just roll over them when the car is spinning around doing donuts or whatever. This is what it's come down to. Right? We can't end this behavior, so we have to figure out ways technologically or otherwise, to try to end people from doing this. It says here, though, it says, these dots are supposed to stop the tires from spinning or burning rubber, which won't allow cars to do donuts and tear up the streets and the property surrounding it. But a couple of people have already complained that some of the bots break and then their tires have gone flat because they hit the jarred edge of the bot dot that kind of broke off. Because sometimes they do. If you ever see them on the freeways, they sometimes kind of over time.
I'm trying to think if I've seen these.
You've driven on California freeways. You've never seen the bot dots in the center there? Where no?
In the center?
You change lanes.
Those yellow circles?
Yeah, but yeah, they're really hard little...
I guess, yeah. I just never really noticed them.
No. Yeah. If you're going slow sometimes and you're changing lanes in traffic, you can kind of feel them as you run over them and stuff like
that. I've also never tried to do a straight takeover. Never burned rubber. Never tried to spin my car
out. I like to see you do a donut in your SUV or your...
I think that would end badly.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Flex alert. Flex alert. Power down. Power down. From 4 to 9. Are you powered down? You have to be less angry, apparently, is what I heard. Because that kind of raises the
I paid my tax money so that I can have power whenever I need it. It's my attitude.
Tax money?
Yes, I paid lots of tax money. I paid lots of money in electrical bills. So they should have a system in order when I need it.
Well, we talked earlier in the show, and actually yesterday, too, that Gavin Newsom wants to make sure there are not power outages in California. That would be a major political embarrassment as he still lines himself up to possibly run for president in 2024. And that's the idea behind a flex alert, because we may not have enough power on these hotter days. And that's the idea behind possibly keeping a nuclear power plant open at Diablo Canyon. And definitely the idea behind keeping some natural gas plants.
Well, isn't this simple common sense? I don't understand why is this actually an issue or a debate? It's common sense. You need X number of megawatts created every day, like between 45 and 50 megawatts, I think.
So now we move over to the national scene, where it looks like some of the same thing is going on. That inflation reduction bill that passed finally in the Senate with no Republican votes, then a measure passed in the House and it was signed by Joe Biden, is being touted as a climate bill called inflation reduction, but major proponents are lauding it as a real incredible step up in the battle against climate change. But
it's
supposedly
not.
Upon closer look, it includes a series of provisions requiring the federal government to hold oil and gas lease sales, spanning millions of acres.
80
on
million.
Federal lands and waters.
80 million, I think, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm.
And you know what? This is why Joe Manchin finally signed on to the bill. This is what he was pushing.
But don't we usually hear with this story that it's fine if Biden sells the leases, but they often don't get implemented either because there's nothing there
often
on the particular.
Right. They don't get permits.
Right. Then there's local opposition, right.
And a lot of these wells are dry. I mean, the reason they're selling 80 million acres is who knows exactly where the oil
is.
What's
in there, right.
Yeah. And whether you can get it
out. And some of the oil companies say, I don't want to spend the money exploring it because it may end up a zero when I paid for the lease, so...
Right, and you don't know if you can extract it at a profit. That's another thing. If it's too expensive to get the oil out for whatever geological reason, then it's not worth getting there. But it looks like this was a way to get the bill passed, and why Joe Manchin was holding out. He was demanding the oil and gas leasing provisions. This is what we ought to be doing, and we ought to follow through all the way to the end. But so much of this bill is just hype and horse manure.
Yeah. The bill would require the federal government to reinstate what they call Lease Sale 257, an offshore lease sale stretching across 80 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico, and to hold three other offshore leases that the Biden administration canceled in May, includes one in the Cook Inlet of Alaska that runs across quite a few miles in that state, 1.09 million acres. Another provision of the bill tethers new renewable energy leases to additional fossil fuel leases. The Interior Department is prohibited from issuing wind or solar permits unless it issued an offshore oil and gas permit during the previous 120-day period.
No, this is like what Newsom ran into. Now the real world is taking over. You cannot.
That's right, because in the end, these guys are politicians. So they know you got to keep the lights on. And with Biden, it's the gas prices, right? Here in California, we're used to the high gas prices, unfortunately. But what we're not used to is a lot of power blackouts. That's why Newsom is nervous. With Biden, it is the high gas
prices. Well, they have an election.
And they have to think about something 2 years from now to make sure that they have some possible further supply.
Well, they're going to get hammered over the head in campaign ads for the next 2.5 months over the $6 gas.
And they're will. That's not going to change.
And they're going
to get. But they're looking forward to 2024,
right,
when
right.
he may be up for election, and they want to see what they can do with these leases
because
to make more supply.
If Trump ever stops babbling about the 2020 election and focusing on the high energy prices and how we went from being an energy net exporter to now a net importer, that we were energy independent. Right. Up until Biden, you know, that's what'll win votes. That's what he ought to be running on. So Biden's got to blunt that attack that Trump or DeSantis uses. Any other Democratic candidate after Biden passes away is going to get hammered over this stuff. You can't run a country this way. You can't pretend to run a country without gas and oil drilling. You can talk about all your silly wind and solar and electric cars all you want. You got to have gas and oil drilling, and we have plenty of it. We have just tons and tons of it under the water, under the land.
Was this something that they did to get that Joe Manchin vote?
Yeah,
the senator from West Virginia, the Democrat. It was kind of a holdout on this whole Inflation Reduction Act.
That's what made him flip. He wanted the oil and gas leasing provisions, and he got them. And then he said, "Okay, I'm going to sign on."
Yeah, because the Fox News tried to contact a whole bunch of these Congress people who hate these oil and gas leases, and they were remarkably quiet. A whole bunch of Democrats on these committees, Energy and Commerce Committee, and I wondered sort of like, just don't say anything. We're toeing the line to get Manchin aboard,
this
bill passed. All right, so what? There's something in there for leases, but we love all this other stuff.
Well, all the other stuff is hooey. I mean, I just saw a news story. Like, they've got these $7,500 electric car credits, subsidies.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And certain electric car models just this week, I think Ford announced that the prices are going to go up $6,000 to $8,000 on some of their models. So the electric cars are very expensive to manufacture, and the cost is going to go up. Because of the supply chain issues, the lack of rare earth materials, so the tax credits are going to be overwhelmed by the price increases.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
all right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
We're bringing the Moist Line back day after tomorrow. So, a quick reminder that you can leave a message through the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is how you talk back to the show. Or call the toll free number 1-877-MOIST-86 1-877-664-7886. Well, you know, you sometimes read about this in myth and legend, but it happened this time. She killed him with a kiss. A Tennessee woman apparently went to visit her boyfriend, who was a prison inmate, and she kissed him and slipped him a half an ounce of meth in a little pellet. I guess he was supposed to probably keep that pellet in his mouth until he could transfer it somewhere else and use the meth later. But it looks like he swallowed it.
Uh-oh.
And he's dead.
Oh.
He's dead.
It burst open in his stomach.
It did. Killed him. Overdose.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, I wonder what that's like.
Probably not pleasant.
To get flooded with meth, what happens?
I think you're completely like probably your whole body just gets wacky and starts to melt down. Yeah, they're calling it a massive overdose. I don't know much about a half an ounce of meth, but I guess that's too much. So I guess the idea was, and I don't know whether or not he just forgot, but he was supposed to just hold the pellet in his mouth and he gets back to
dummy.
His cell, carefully take it out and use it.
not supposed to swallow it because your stomach acids will
dissolve the pellet.
Yeah, it was in some
I'm thinking it was a mistake. I don't see how he would know that. He was in prison for drugs. So he probably has some familiarity with drug use.
Well, this is Darwinism.
They...
Good. Now he won't reproduce. And she'll go to prison, and she won't reproduce.
Yeah, she has been charged with second-degree murder.
Yeah, good. Get him off. Get him out of the gene pool.
He was serving an 11-year sentence on drug-related charges. She visited him apparently in February. I guess they're just charging her now because this story just came out. And during the visitation, they were seen kissing.
Isn't it weird that we've got so many thousands of people in prison on drug charges, but then there's thousands of people dying in the streets, whacked out on drugs?
Oh, I know.
It's like we decide some people have to go to prison, and then other people could just die in the streets. We get to choose. I don't really understand. I don't understand anything about the whole way drugs is in our society.
Did you see that border story that it was in the Washington Times? The July rate of seizures of fentanyl shattered all previous records and were enough to kill every single American. They seized 2,071 pounds of fentanyl that came in from Mexico in July, 60% more than the previous record and more than triple the 640 pounds that they grabbed in June.
Right.
It equals almost all of the fentanyl seized in 2019.
Right. So that's... And that's a fraction of what actually gets over the border.
Yes. So the fentanyl thing, man, it could really swallow up a lot of people.
Yeah, and it just takes a little speck of fentanyl to kill you. I just don't, and nobody tries to stop this. They pass bills and they give speeches and they shake their fists, but in the end, all this stuff comes pouring over. People die here by the thousands, and move on.
I don't get it. We just constantly move from one favorite drug to another. Fentanyl's now the new hot drug. I mean, for years it was meth, crystal meth.
Because it's really cheap and really makes you feel good.
Yeah,
but you have to be very exact in how much you take.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to get a handle on it. So
look at this. There's San Diego has a 2,375% increase in fentanyl deaths in 5 years. 2,375%. I mean, they're manufacturing it faster, more efficiently, and more cheaply than ever.
Oh. Crazy.
Oh, we got Conway here.
Hey now. Hey now. Hey now. We have some breaking news.
You do?
Yes. David Vasse, who's with the Los Angeles Dodgers, he does the pregame, postgame show.
Yes.
He was invited to go down the slide in Milwaukee. That every time the Milwaukee Brewers hit a home run, that their mascot goes down that crazy slide. I'm sure you've
seen
that.
Yes. Yeah.
So David Vasse goes down, and he doesn't have the padding of the mascot, and he slams into the wall at the bottom, breaking his wrist and 6 ribs.
No, really?
Yeah, just happened.
Is there a video of this?
There's video of it, yes. Yeah. It's got millions, it's going to get trillions of hits. But it's happened before. Eric, have you seen the video?
Yeah, I saw the video, and I saw Justin Turner giving him some crap about it, too.
And you're laughing at this.
Because it's hilarious.
Terrible
who goes
tragedy.
Down a slide and breaks their wrist?
We got to get Sweet James on the phone, because if they've greased that slide or buttered it up or whatever, like they do sometimes for the opposing players, man.
Brewers are deep pockets.
Lawsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when I've seen the slide, but when you hit the bottom, where do you go? You don't go into water or anything?
No, you hit the bottom, and there's not enough space there, so you're on like a rug, and then there's a padded wall. But the padding on the wall is only like 3 inches thick. It doesn't really do much.
I see.
He slammed into it, and man, he was in excruciating pain.
What did he do wrong?
I don't know. That's why we got to ask him.
Bad technique?
He's coming on tonight.
Oh.
And so we'll have him on to talk about
broken ribs. He's coming on your show.
Six fractured ribs, I think, and a
Doesn't
broken
he have
wrist.
Something better to do than talk through the pain?
Talk but to you. You know what? He went to the hospital. I'm sure he's on Dilaudid.
You guys
and,
are trying to just make a big story out of this.
Right. I'm sure he's on, you know, all kinds sure. of painkillers.
Probably fentanyl, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably on fentanyl,
that
right?
That could be an interesting interview then.
But he goes to the hospital, gets set, and then comes back and still does his job. He still interviews Turner right
that's
before the game. Is it Rhett Turner? Is that the guy's name, Rhett Turner? The baseball?
Trey Turner?
No.
Trey Turner?
No.
Justin Turner?
Rhett Turner. I thought it was Rhett Turner. Oh, no. Rhett Turner was the wardrobe person on the Carol Burnett Show. Sorry. I mixed them up.
That's pretty close.
Red Turner, too.
You're on fentanyl, too, aren't you?
That's right.
See, well, stuff's getting
memory
around.
From 50 years ago, yeah.
Hey, listen.
I can see how you could confuse the two, sure.
I have a feeling that's the first time Rhett Turner's name's been used on this station.
First time I ever heard it.
Yeah, ever.
Ding dong.
Yeah. Anyway, we got David Vasse coming up, and we we have a flex alert going on. So shut your power off, and don't use your water, and don't use your electricity. So welcome to California.
Yeah, don't breathe. All right, Conway.
Yeah, here we go.
Michael Crozier
has
the news.
Bring on the injured.
KFI, KFST HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.